As has been announced, the theme for our sermon this morning is rejoicing in suffering. Suffering is not uncommon or strange to you and me. Yes, we all understand what it is. As part of Christian experience, please understand, the Christian life is not smooth sailing always. It is not meant to be. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was never part of the bargain or the agreement. Once you're a Christian, everything will go smooth and good. That is not so. Our Lord Jesus himself says to us, in this world you will have tribulation. You come to me, follow me, become a disciple, be prepared. For in this world you will have tribulation. But he doesn't leave us wondering what to do. Tribulation, how can we cope? Then the Lord says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are taken out of the world in allegiance. Not out of the world in physical presence. You're still here. But you no longer belong to the world, and the world becomes an enemy. And the world does not like you. If they know your allegiance, they know you belong to the Lord Jesus, we have an enemy, and oftentimes this gives rise to problems. Our theme for this year, I would like you to turn there, for it is very relevant, Galatians chapter 4. Very relevant that we understand and keep in focus this great theme, that we may achieve what God wants for us through this theme. Considering this great verse of Galatians 4:19, as we go along week by week, dear friends, are you following? Please, coming to this service every Sunday, I pray that you will get more than your troubles worth, right? Let none come here just out of custom, and let not the words that are spoken from the Word of God go in by the right ear and fly off by the left ear. But let us all remember and hide the words in our hearts. Now, Galatians 4:19. My dearly beloved children, Paul calls them little children, of whom I travel in birth again. I am in great pain like a laboring mother. Why? The Christian process. You're coming into the family of God. You receive new birth. It is the birth process, and it can be painful. So Paul says, I am suffering for your sake. Was he suffering? Please read the life of Paul and see the catalogue of sufferings. As a servant of God, some people imagine, if I serve God, all should be well. But not for Paul, not for any true servant, not for you, not for me. We must expect suffering. And here it says, my little children, by the grace of God, I say the same to you. Please listen. Of whom I travel in birth, I am in great pain and suffering for you, until Christ be formed in you. This is our target, our objective, our prayer. Can you please remember from today? Pray that God will build you up in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? One of the ways for you to understand and visualize is that we may be like a piece of rock, and the master sculptor comes along, and out of this rough piece of rock, he will create something beautiful. Now, this is not exactly related, but I'll just use it as an illustration and as an appetizer. Writing my life story, part of it goes back to Batuk Pahat. Spirit in the city center. A kind of centerpiece for Batuk Pahat. I always thought the name Batuk Pahat meant stone chisel. Batu, stone, you know that. Pahat is chisel. But the legend and the story told officially from the internet, which I received by the help of an internet person, is the words Batuk Pahat is translated chiseled rock. The emphasis is on the batu, the rock, and the pahat is the chisel. That this rock is being chiseled to make something beautiful. Now that's you and me being chiseled. Now, in case you need a close-up, here it is. Try and think of this, dear friends. God has us in view. We are so precious to Him. We are the piece of rough and uncultured rock. And He has a beautiful plan for you and me. Do you know that? From the time He came into your life, from the time you received Jesus as your Savior, He takes over your life. And He wants to make something beautiful out of it. How many of you here understand sculpture? The sculptor will take the rock, and it may take him many days and hours of painful attention. Bit by bit, with a chisel, he will sculpt you to the right shape and the right size, and to make something most beautiful out of you. But the process is not pleasant, because every time you are hit, you suffer pain. That is a picture of what we are talking about, the theme of the message today. Rejoicing in suffering is a paradox. Can you smile and thank God and be happy when you suffer? It is a paradox. Yes, paradox is opposite of what you expect. Yes, if somebody scolds you, get very morose and offended. But when we realize the hand that is chastising, you know, whom the Father loveth, complete the sentence, He chasteneth. You and I are His children. We have a wonderful Father. Which of you fathers will not chasten a child who is wayward? That's a picture of you and me. Whom the Father loves, He chastens. And here He is with that chisel, in order to make something beautiful out of your life. A piece of rock, rough and uncultured, is going to be a masterpiece. You and I are in His hands. He is waiting to make something beautiful out of it. But the process is painful. But when you realize what is happening, oh, my Father is testing me, teaching me, guiding me, taking away the dross, the impurities out of my life, in order to make me something worthwhile, worthy of his kingdom, someone that he can use, someone who will be a credit to the name of Christ. Then what do? We come to the title of today's sermon. Rejoice that I am in the hands of my Father, and he means only good to me, nothing bad, although it feels like painful at times. So, Hebrews 12:11. No chastening for the time being is pleasant. No, it's painful, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. When God chastens with this chisel, you are going to feel discomfort, pain, and not pleasure. But when you realize what it is and what is happening, what do? Rejoice. Rejoice in suffering. So to our main text, the text that was part of our reading is in Colossians. By the way, the word is Colossians, not Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 1, and it is good we read from verse 21 to 24. All right, please follow. I hope that in the process of this year, you will find the Bible more precious to you. Yes, for therein are the words of everlasting life and truth. Verse 21, Colossians chapter 1. You that were sometime alienated, enemies of God, because in your mind you have evil thoughts, translating into wicked words. Now, wonderful, when you came to hear the gospel that Christ died for my sins, and looking to him at the cross, and say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. You were saved. And he gives you new life. This is the beginning of your new life. And then he takes away that enmity that separates you from God. You are reconciled. That's the meaning of verse 21. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, he had to pay the price for that reconciliation. When you have offended the king, how do you make peace with the king? Think about it. Here the king of heaven is offended, and his son came and made the peace, paid the price, that you and I receive the pardon. Now, verse 22 says, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight for the day to come. Why are we saved? Why is it we come to Jesus Christ at the cross and say, Lord, forgive me, save me? Why? It's in verse 22. That one day, Jesus Christ will present you and me holy, no more tainted with sins, unblameable, unreprovable, accepted in the beloved. Are you following, dear friends? That day is coming. Christ Jesus died on Calvary 2,000 years ago. We listen and hear and receive the gospel in this year of 2007. But shortly we shall all be called to appear before the throne. On that day, our Lord will present us to the Father. All these who have trusted in him will be his trophies, the prizes that he will present before the Father. Before then, he has to make us holy, unblameable, unreprovable, accepted in the Beloved. This is what he's doing for us today. And in the process, as the Father chastens the child, so he chastens us. There will be times of chastening. It is needful. Why? Because we all were once disobedient children. And our Heavenly Father sends Jesus Christ to chasten, to refine, to cultivate us away from the ways of the world. Not to go back to the old ways, but to realize we are a new creature in Jesus Christ, and he makes us anew. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which you have preached, we have preached to every creature under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Here we have, yes, Paul says, look, you have come to hear the gospel through me. I am a minister of the gospel called to preach Christ. This is the purpose of every Sunday school teacher. In fact, I will say this, dear friends, it is the purpose of every believer to go and share the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you? When you do so, there is joy unspeakable. But in the process, oftentimes, we also suffer more or less. In the case of Paul, he says, look, I have been suffering for you so immensely, but it is worth it because that is my calling. Called to be a preacher of the gospel, called to suffer for those who through this gospel may find life everlasting. And if we do suffer for a moment now, when you consider that the eventual and ultimate reward is something most amazing, then the present suffering is nothing. You agree? We will look into that in a moment. I repeat that. When you realize that any suffering you may undergo today because of the gospel, because the world is no longer your friend, when you realize that all this for us is working to the ultimate reward, that's what matters, not now. Now is just a moment, but what is coming is forever. And when you consider that the little suffering is going to bring you great glory and rewards in the day to come, which is not far off, mind you, not far off, when you realize that today's little suffering pales into nothing. Otherwise, how can this topic stand examination, right? Rejoicing in suffering, you're crazy. You get bitten, you will smile and thank God for being bitten for all suffering. It doesn't make sense, except that we do not look at the present. Now you want to have that verse substantiated, right? Romans, the famous part that we all understand very well, has a wonderful story for us. Romans 8, 28, but before 28, 18, huh? 18. All of us know Romans 8, 28, don't we? Of course. Now, Romans 8, 18. What does Paul say here? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Wonderful. Can you remember, add this to your collection of verses? Do you have a red pen, marker pen, highlighter? I suggest that with this year of golden pick, equip yourself with a highlighter. Every Sunday when you hear the gospel preached, highlight the precious verses So the end of the year of the pig, your Bible is going to look so much more colorful. Yeah? You remember. The verse for today is Romans 8:18. Can we all read together so that you'll not forget it too easily? Together, please. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is a promise. This is a sure prediction. Do you believe it? When you do believe it, I tell you what will happen to your life. You will be more zealous for the Lord, willing to undergo little inconveniences, not really sufferings. But when sufferings do come, then what do? Answer, rejoice in the Lord. Thank Him for little sufferings. Yes. Romans 8:28, I read for you again. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, which is for everlasting days. How long can you suffer for in this present age? How long? As for me, I don't think more than another 5 or 10 years, although some people look at me and say, you live to 103. I say, God forbid. Yeah. Suffering will not be too long, dear friends. Please understand. Even if it is 10 years, let me tell you the story of Wang Mingtao, right? Wang Mingtao. Ever heard of the name? He was a colleague and contemporary of Dr. John Sung. Huh? During the communist rule, they arrested him and he was put in prison. How long? 26 years. 26 years. And there he received bad treatment. Sufferings! All right, how do you accept that kind of thing? Romans 8:18. I reckon the 26 years in prison is nothing compared with the glory that shall be mine in the day to come. Then I gladly go to prison for 26 years. Can you say that? Thank God there are no prisons in Singapore who imprison Christians. No, not with this government. At least not this government, because there are many Christians in the government. All right. So this is a very great comfort. Now we go on to well-known verse 8:28, right? Romans 8:28. This one we all know. We all can say by heart. Everybody say it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The word is the purpose, His purpose. You know, when God saved you, He already had a plan for you. He had a plan that governs your whole life in every detail, in every day, in all that ever happens to you and are going to happen to you. He knows. God has a plan. When you understand that, many worries and anxieties and fears will fall away right away. I say to all our friends up in the heavenly heights up there, when you understand God has a plan for you, why should He have a plan for me? Answer is, if He spared not His only Son for you, when He gave Jesus for you to die for you in order to save your soul, will He not also, with the saving of your soul, also care for the planning of your body, that your life on earth will be looked after, because we have a complete salvation in a perfect God? He doesn't save you in the soul and leave your body to rot or to flounder and go no way, no plan, no direction, nothing. No. We have a perfect God. He has a plan for you. Then when you know He has a plan, I am part of the plan. Can you say that? You are part of the plan. That plan is made for you. Detailed for you. Personalized for you. And He cares for you. Why? Because He died for you. You see, if He did the greater, will He not do the lesser? It's so logical and reasonable, please understand. So then you can say, all things work together for good to them who love God. To me who love God, do you love him? If you love him, it qualifies, yeah? This is your verse. All right, then you can all say, today I'm suffering. Why should I suffer? Why should I get sick? Why should I get accident? Why should I go through periods of bad luck? No bad luck, dear friends. It's God's plan for you. Then Romans 8:28 is so wonderful. Make this your guideline every day. All right? Now, another verse is very, very good. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Then again, you understand why we suffer and what should be the response to suffering. Romans 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right, I repeat, I'm balik. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, very important. Are you there, please? 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, our light affliction is but for a moment. This is exactly what they told us in Romans 8:18. Yes. The sufferings of this present time are nothing. So this verse says, our light affliction, in place of saying sufferings, they are light affliction, not really that bad, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, something so marvelous, so wonderful, so pleasant you cannot believe it when you receive it, and that is forever. For everlasting days, eternal, in the heavens, reserved for you and me. And if we have to suffer a little today, rejoice and thank God. Verse 18. Now here is, make this your prayer. Lord, help me to have a spiritual eyesight. Right? Don't look at things visible, but pray that God will show you things invisible. While we look not at the things which are seen, don't consider your belongings, your dwelling place, your increment, your friends, and your possessions, your investments, all the investments you missed. Wow! You get very depressed, can't sleep. Miss that opportunity. Miss this opportunity. Always too late. Buy too quick, sell too late. Wow, terrible. No. My dear friends, there are far more important things than those things you can see. And those things you cannot see. You cannot see. How can you see? By faith we see. By faith in prayer. Say, Lord, help me. Born loser. Any born losers here? Everyday born loser. No. It says, no, don't look at the things which are seen. Look at the things that are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? My Lord Jesus is not seen. But I know he is up there praying for me. And he's waiting for me. He's preparing a place for me. All these things are not seen. I know I have a home in heaven which is indestructible, undefiled, reserved for me, never to fade away, I have. So even though today I got unblocked, suddenly I found I have to move house, they're selling away my block. But I say, God, thank you, I still have a dwelling place, indestructible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for me. What do I do? Rejoice. All right. But look at the things which are not seen. Verse 18 again. For the things which are seen are temporal. By the way, the word is temporal, not temporal. Sorry, I'm giving you a little English lesson, free of charge, you know. temporal, yes, but the things which are not seen, praise God, are eternal. How do you see the things which are not seen? Answer, pray for eyes of faith. By faith you see. Where is the faith? Believing what God says is faith. For all these things, therefore, every day rejoice. Now I want to close with this. Galatians 4:19, our theme verse. And you must know this, because this verse is going to guide us through this whole year. Galatians 4:19. Paul says to us, my little children. Well, I won't call you little children. I say, my dear friends, dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ at Pandan, of whom I travel in birth until now, until Christ be formed in you. Paul says, it is not easy for me, the Apostle Paul says. I am in great pain. I weep for you. I suffer for you. I go through many troubles and tribulations for you in order that this church of God's people will not stop growing. You must not stop growing. And you cannot grow if you are soaked in sin and poison. That's the first rule. You see the doctor, he gives you vitamins to help you grow strong. But if he knows you are taking drugs, he stops you from taking drugs. You cannot grow strong taking drugs. And the drugs here are those sins which so easily beset us. Talking about suffering, do not suffer because of your sins. Yes, if, for example, taking drugs causes you insomnia and excitement and the whole life is topsy-turvy, and you say, I want to be strong in the Lord, I say, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. So in place of drugs, put the word sins. A Christian cannot grow strong if he dabbles in sins. If you think nothing of sin and continue in sin, you cannot grow strong, neither can you become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Rejoicing in suffering, let the suffering be for the sake of righteousness and never for your sins. So, my little children, my dearly beloved, of whom Paul says, I travel in birth. There are like birth pains. It is like giving birth to a child is very painful. Mothers will tell you this. But when the child comes out whole and perfect, there is rejoicing. And in anticipation of that event, mother goes through the birth pains patiently, even happily, enduring all that pain, in order that the child will come out whole. And this is the same idea here. So I want to close with these thoughts. My little children, God's chisel is coming on to you, like what I've shown you just now. This piece of rock is precious to him, but he wants to make it perfect. And the chisel work will come on you. It is painful, but it is needful, because all the rough edges, all the impurities, he sees them and he wants them all out, so that you and I eventually will be a beautiful piece of his workmanship. That is the idea. God's chisel is coming. For whom he loves, he chisels. Chastens? Chisels. For whom he loves, that piece of rock, he sees great things in the piece of rock. You say it's so rough, so ugly. True? Yes. All the ugliness will go when his chisel comes on it. That is the suffering you have got to go through. But thank God for this. Let us ask ourselves, what are the pieces of impurities he's going to chisel away? Your stubbornness, laziness, will not want to read the gospel, read the Bible. You have time for everything else. Who hasn't got time for television or other things? You never need to urge a person to have time for those things. It comes naturally. But what we want to pray is that God will work in our lives supernaturally to help us to understand that there is much more important things than television time. There is Bible time. And let God give you that hunger and thirsting. God must take away every worldliness from us. A Christian cannot be a strong Christian if he's worldly. If he wants to behave like the rest of the world. They do this, I do. Why? Because everybody does it. They drink, I drink. They go to that place, I go to that place. They go to the theaters, I also go. They do so many other things. Examine yourselves. And let God's chisel come upon us to chisel away all our impurities. Every sexual impurity must go away. Men especially, women not excluded, but all are vulnerable. Is that relevant? You ask yourself. God must deal with us with that holy chisel and take all these things away. In the Bible passage we read earlier, it says, lasciviousness. All sexual pornographic material belongs to that category. It need not be actual physical, but in the mind, the pollution of the mind and the way of the lifestyle of those people who indulge in it, going to the internet until 1 and 2 a.m. What are they doing there? Study law? Not so, yes? Nobody sees that study. But God knows. Let our conduct before Him be clear and above board and clean and holy because we are a holy people. Waiting, going to the holy city, fleeing from the city of destruction. May God deal with us in love. For whom the Father loves, He chastens. Rejoice in suffering, therefore. When we come to Him, plead with Him, Lord, please purify me, remake me, chisel me, and mold me into what You want me to be. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, blessed be Thy holy name. On this first year of the lunar year, help us all to realize and to resolve that we will give our lives over to Thee for Thy use. This coming year, every day to be a good day. And should we suffer for righteousness' sake, help us to rejoice. For we know that the hand of the Father is always with us and never far away. Bless Your people now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.